want to bring to you a very important message, and it's a message of the ending of the deluge that drowned everyone in the world, but the man or the man and woman of the family of the great man, the man Noah. May God bless us as we preach the word. Noah was God's ship builder. When the task was over and done, and the flood drowned the world was quickly abating, something happened. Noah, before the flood, was a man of God who feared the Lord Jehovah and who brought his children up in the word of God and the faith of the family from which he came. So there came a time in the life of Noah when he was drawn as near to God, to know the mind of God, as any other man in the world. He became one of the great patriarchs of Scripture. But with the earth drying up, God's man fell into the deepest sin. I want to read to you a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 to 21. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 to 21. What a sad obituary notice this was. The man who had obeyed the Lord, the man who was called by a world of sinners a fool, but a man who was the wisest man on earth. And by his action, he saved his family. And by his action, he saved all the families of the animal world that was around. And he brought a new world about. And yet, when the great victory was won, this man turned from drinking of the water of life and started to drink of the wine that destroys. And he became a drunkard. And I think it's very, very telling when we read the text that I have just read to you, that he took and partook of the vineyard. and he drank of the wine. That's not the end of the story. And was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. Two grievous black blotches on the heart and life of this great prophet. What an obituary notice is written on these words from the Holy Spirit of God. Here's a man of God, the man that God had instructed to the salvation of the animal world and to the salvation of his own family. And what has happened? This man who knew God, who walked with God, who got the mind of God, this man who was chosen of everyone upon the world, from out of his family, to be the Savior of the world. And then there comes about the day of victory. But it wasn't a day of victory for him. It was a day of sinning and wickedness and evil and walking in the very road that the whole world had walked down and had been damned. Genesis 7, verse 20 and 21. My, what a terrible indictment this is. When Noah's great task was over and done. And as the universal flood that drowned the earth stopped rising, and the wind and water was quickly going from the face of the whole universe. And this man, instead of having called his family to have a prayer meeting of thanksgiving, he took to building a place for winemaking. And he not only did so, but he partook of the wine that he had brought into being. And he drank until the sober, mighty man of God was a drunkard. And not only was he a drunkard, but he committed two awful crimes. The crime of being a man who had turned the fruit of the vine into an instrument of sin. And then, in the midst of his drunkenness, he, within his tent, became a sinful drunkard, an evil man in sin with the curse of God upon him. This is a sad story. The story of one of the greatest of godly men who had become one of the greatest of sinful men. When we look at this particular chapter, we find that it was not the flood that drowned him, but it was his making of the eel and alcoholic drinking that broke him down. And only for the grace of God, he would have joined those who had already perished. He who had been so holy before the flood came, he was now drowned in his own depravity. The repeating of the desolation in Noah was a sad memorial. What had happened to everybody else now happened to him. The world was a world of drunkards. They had all drowned. Noah was a man of God who knew the drinking of the wine of heaven. And yet after that he ceased to take of the wine that was good and went to drink to the honor of the devil himself. And he was a deteriorating man, a man who had become a dark, a miserable drunkard. His cleanness had become uncleanness. That which he was pure in, now he was no longer pure, but he was darkened with the blackness of the jeopardy of a sin. Noah, the man of God, the man who walks with God, he had become a drunkard. The wheel had changed its running. And instead of a rain destroying him, he was destroyed by the liquor that he produced. And then doubly destroyed by the fool that consummation of drinking had taken to his heart and his mind. The soul. If he had remained in the presence of God, he would have been eternally safe. But no, without any consideration of God, he built the wine press. He brought the first fruits of the earth that had been destroyed there to that distillery. He produced a liquid that destroyed his purity, his holiness, and his religion. And he was walking now in this dark world as all those who had perished in the star. We will consider him, and we will consider him in the way he walked and the way he acted and the way he turned from the road of life to the road of death. And his overcoming joy was swept away. And insurrection and sinning drove him to disobedience. A disobedience that produced rebellion to the commandments of God. I call upon you to behold the one man who was in the human lifeline. And notice how he had changed his course and had changed his behavior. His joy was lost. The following of the divine master's commandments in the way of perfect peace were destroyed and taken away. The joy he once had had turned to bitterness and rebellion and hastened him toward death. The world was not a dry world for him. It was a world that was filled with the juices of intoxicating evil. We need to release our minds and just think of the change that had come so suddenly to the life of godly Noah, and how his road changed, his religion changed. The guidance of God was forgotten, and he had become a loafer. He had become a drunkard. He had become as black as the sinners who had drowned in the floodway. We must all bow at all times to the direction of the Prince of Peace. But alas, here is this man, Noah. He has wandered far away from God. He has lost communion with the Almighty. He shut himself up on a sin house of his own making. And in a place that was producing liquor that would destroy him. Oh, we need to walk very gently in this world. We need to steer ourselves away from every thought and action of sin. But if we don't, we will pay at a great price, the price of sin and sinning. Locked in with heaven, with Christ, heaven has begun. But walking away from God is hell. We will work for him. And the way he wants us to walk, we will gladly walk him for our Lord. But if we refuse to walk in the ways of the Lord, then we will walk in the ways of the world, the way of breaking our commandments and our business with God. Behold this one man who had climbed the ladder of God to a tremendous height, who was a divine instrument of saving the world. And yet now he's cast down in the midden of darkness and the shadow of death. In the very field in which he had won such a victory, he now had gone down to sink in the mud of his own sinning. He went down at a gallop to disaster, to be baptized in the world, not with its water, but with its sinning, to a final destruction. He was headed on the edge of the graves of damnation. This man was a danger to himself, a danger to the whole world in which he lived. And what a terrible danger he was. Noah, he was the means of saving the world from total annihilation and damnation. He saved the entire human race in obeying the word of God. But something had taken place. And when he walked out of the ark onto the dry ground, he was a man looking for the liquor of hell and for the drink that could finally destroy him. Oh, what a sad story we have here. I picked up the other day a book, and on that book there was this story written. It was the book of God, written by God, and the book that not only was written by God, but was the words that were used by the sinner Noah. A writer wrote these words. There were two glasses on the table before Noah. The rich man's table had a glass filled to rim. The wine was ruddy and red as blood, and one was clear as the crystal of blood. One had wine that destroyed, and the other had pure water that healed. Said the glass of wine to his paler brother, "Let us tell tales of the past to one another. For I was king, for I ruled in might, and the proudest and grandest souls on earth fell under my touch as though struck with blight. From the heads of kings I have torn the crown. From the height of fame I have torn men down. I have blighted many an honored name. I have taken virtue and given shame. I have tempted youth with a slip, a taste, which has made his future a barren waste. Far greater than any king am I, or any army under the sky. I have made the arm of the driver feel, and sent the train from the iron wheel. I have made good ships go down to the sea, and the shrieks of the lost were sweet to me, for they said, "Behold how great you be." Fame, strength, wealth, genius, before you fall. Ho, ho, pale brother, laughed the wine. Can you boast of deeds as great as these? Said the water glass, I cannot boast of a king dethroned, of a murdered beast, but I can tell of hearts that were sad by my crystal drops made light and glad, of thirst that I have quenched and brows I have loved, of hands I have cooled and the souls I have saved. I have leaped through the valley. I have dashed down the mountain. I have slept in the sunshine and dripped from the fountain. I have burst my cloud fetters and dropped from the sky, and everywhere gladdened the landscape and I. I have eased the hot forehead of fever and pain. I have made the parched meadows grow fertile with grain. I can tell of the powerful wheel of the mill, that ground out the flower had been turned at my will. I can tell of manhood debased by you, that I have lifted up and crowned anew. I cheer, I help, I strengthen, and aid. I gladden the heart with the heart of man and maid. I set the chained wine captive free, and all are the better for knowing me. These are the tales they told each other. A glass of wine and its pure brother. And as they sat together, filled to the brim, on a richer man's table, rim to rim, what a sin was taking place when these two men met. Here was God's judgment and God's destruction. And when I turn over my Bible, I discover what is happening and what is really happening. It is really happening that God is at work, and I have sat down and I have studied and I have discovered something. That 45 reasons are given why a sinner ought to turn to God without delay. The sinner should consider to whom he has to turn. He has to turn to God. He has to consider to what you are, to turning holiness. A filthy sinner that needs the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Consider from what you are to turn from sin. Delaying shows you would never part with sin if you might have your own will. What a case you are in while delaying. Delaying gives greater advantage to the tempter. What an advantage he has already gained. In the abuses that you have turned on Christ and the Holy Spirit, I may not leave you. I must warn you. What is it that you stay for? The longer you stay, the harder the work will be. Sin gets victory daily by your advantages. Therefore, it is folly to delay. More advantage than former ages or other nations. Delaying runs a hazard. Life is uncertain. Grace is uncertain. It increases your sin to stay away from God. It may damn the soul and your body forever. Time lost by delays in an inconceivable loss. God has given no time to spare. Consider the greatness of the work to be done. Many perish and few turn who willfully delay. If turning be necessary, the sooner it starts, the better. Consider how long you have stayed already away from your God. If you have hopes of salvation, it is folly for you to continue in your sins. If you were sure of salvation, you would still suffer loss by delay. How many stay for you while you delay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, angels, ministers, and godly patients all wait for your return. Christ did not delay to die. God did not delay to do you good. then you are to receive any outward deliverance, the sooner then you better run for the cross. Your worldly delights are passing quickly by. Worldly business does not delay. The sowing and the reaping are taking place, and then all will die. You declare not to receive gifts from your fellows. You would wait for God rather than He wait for you. You will not delay helping a neighbor in an emergency, but you will not help yourself in your greater emergency, the danger of hellfire forever. You deal worse with God than with the devil. You delay not to the will of God. Speedily, turning can do no harm. It will grieve you much if you do not turn now. Has not God a right to appoint the time? And He has appointed it. He says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Dare you say you know better than God to whom you should turn? Quick coming makes you the more welcome. Do with God as you would others should do to you. Delay is denial. God does not stay for all. He is waiting for you. God will not always patiently wait. If you slumber, your damnation will not slumber. It will meet you as an angry sword of the eternal word of the living God. I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of men, to turn while the Spirit in mercy is leading, and steer for the harbor bright. But how do you know that your soul will be drifting over the valley this night? I will conclude the second part of this sermon next Lord's Day, and you will be able to listen to the final solemn words of God's call after your soul. O God our Father, bless the solemn word of God we've been speaking, and grant that you would turn those that hear from darkness to light, and from the power of sin unto God. For Jesus' sake, amen.